Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. This week's episode, I wanted to break down some misconceptions about picky eating that are even far less talked about than they should and or than they should be. And what I mean by that is if you've followed me for a while, you've been on my podcast, you may have already heard me cover some misconceptions or some areas where I feel like parents just are led astray. And some of those being, you know, I think a lot of parents are told that it's just a phase. Every kid is picky. They'll grow out of it. Just wait until they're hungry enough. They'll eat, those sorts of things. You know, and I've kind of covered those here on the podcast before. So if you're interested in that, you can certainly look back and go back and listen to some of those because I do believe that one of the biggest disservices that we do to parents of picky eaters is tell them that it's, quote, just a phase because, I don't know, it really gets my blood boiling because, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I have covered it, but one of the things or one of the reasons why I think it's a really harmful misconception is because it essentially gives parents this idea that there's nothing they can do, that they're hopeless, that they just have to wait it out, hope that their kid turns it around on their own, and nothing that they do can impact it, which is just could not be further from the truth. So that one really bothers me. We definitely talk a lot on here about just wait until they're hungry enough. They'll eat whatever you put in front of them, which is just simply not true. I kind of reference it to being like told that if you just let them drown long enough, they'll start swimming, which is just not true. And I know many of you were raised in the 90s or maybe even earlier than that. And maybe you were thrown in a pool with your parent to learn how to swim. And the fact of the matter is, maybe it's a way, right? It might be a way. It is certainly not the best way. And I wanted to talk about a few more misconceptions that have come up over time working with parents, especially in my one-on-one strategy calls and working with them more more intimately and really realizing that there is a theme that comes up often enough. So the first theme I will say, or that misconception, is a lot of what I teach and practice and show and educate parents on is that pressure doesn't work. As you guys all know, if you've been following this for even, you know, 1 week, you know that I am anti-pressure around the table. And for a lot of parents, that feels like losing control, not being able to control your child, not, you know, really being able to step into a leadership role because you're like, well, that's how I get them to eat. I use pressure tactics. Pressure tactics meaning bribing, begging, pleading, guilting, even praising, negotiating. All of these things are pressure tactics. I basically say they're all the same. Like a lot of parents will say, I've tried everything and it doesn't work. In reality, most parents have just tried one thing wrapped up differently. That's pressure techniques that are kind of wrapped in different wrapping paper. Tonight you tried bribing with an Oreo. Tomorrow you might bribe with ice cream, or the next day you might count their bites, or the next day you might say they have to stay at the table until they finish their plate, or the next day you tell them they can't leave the table until, they can't leave the table until they finish their plate, while another day you might say, oh, it's fine, you don't have to eat it, you know, and praise them heavily for eating something if they do choose to eat it, whatever it might be, right? So those pressure tactics are really just one tactic wrapped up differently. So you've likely already heard and know that I do not believe, and it is not supported in the research and for sure has been supported in our practice anecdotally, that it also works to not pressure your children. So it's both supported in research and in practice for parents. However, with not pressuring your kid to eat, what I think that oftentimes leads parents to believe is that it's permissive parenting. Like you are just letting your kid control, letting your kid be in charge, letting your kid decide, letting your kid lead. And that is not the case at all. In fact, there is permissive parenting in eating. Permissive parenting in feeding a picky eater oftentimes shows up more like a short order cook, allowing them to choose whatever they want, whenever they want, going into the pantry, grazing, choosing all the snacks, choosing all their meals. You might say something like, what do you feel like for lunch today? And they get to answer you. And that can be a form, it isn't always, but it can be a form of permissive parenting, letting your child fully have full control and full reins over everything. then we really have authoritarian parenting. This is like very strict, very high standards, very high expectations, wanting a very high level of control for parents. And this often leads to pressure tactics as well, because at this side of things, you are telling them how many bites they need to eat, what they can do or what they can't do based on how much they eat. You want a certain outcome for them in order to get them to eat. And while I can understand this type of parenting, as I can permissive as well in those moments, I can understand why it would be helpful or why it would be easier or feel easier in your home, because you kind of like set the rules, it's my way or the highway, and or it's, hey, I'll just let my kid lead and hopefully things will work out. And both of those actually create a child who does not have a proper nervous system or proper boundaries with food or proper understanding of how food affects them. And they're not making choices in a state of regulation. They're actually being very dysregulated. And so really what we want to aim for is authoritative parenting at the table, which means essentially we are working with our child in a flexible way with clear boundaries that is very supportive in getting them set up for success. This is something that you'll hear me say all of the time, whether you're inside my program or out. Setting them up for success is kind of, I like the visual of basically like T-ball, where you set up the tee, you put the ball on the tee, but ultimately they have to walk up and hit the ball out of the park. And I've had some pushback on this from parents, both that I've coached with one-on-one, but also parents, you know, in my DMs or emails saying, well, this feels like giving the kid too much control. I feel like I've lost. Like if they don't walk up and hit the ball out of the park and they decide not to eat, or they choose not to try something new, or they choose to only eat their safe foods or whatever that might be, I'm basically, it feels permissive to them. And for authoritarian parents, that can feel really stressful because you're used to being in a place of control. You're used to using pressure. You're used to using demands to get your child to eat. And while I understand that in the moment that might feel like a win, right? Your kid actually might try a bite of something new. They might actually clean their plate. What we're actually after here is raising a child who one day will become an independent eater and be making their own choices, buying their own food, preparing their own food. And you want to start learning with those skills at a young age. So while every family and every family culture is going to be different, and this is one thing I think we don't talk about enough, and in fact, I would consider it another misconception, is that every family, every parent-child relationship should kind of look the same. But in reality, we want a different family culture for every family. Everyone's going to be different of how they handle different situations, what you push your kids to do, what you let them not do, how you show up, where your boundaries are. They're going to be different for every parent, which is exactly why inside my program, I teach you how to decide where your boundaries are, because they're going to be different. I show you examples and I tell you what maybe works best in research, but at the same time, I empower and encourage parents to come up with their own boundaries, their own set of family values, their own family culture to follow, and to really put their kids in a situation that they both feel good about how they're showing up to the table, how you're getting them to eat, how you're teaching them these skills, because ultimately, learning how to eat is a skill. New foods, exotic foods, how to cook, how to prepare food, all of these things are skills, and they do start at the very young age. And so really finding a way to be supportive and encourage autonomy within them while still having ultimately authority over the situation is the most effective way to raise kids who are healthy, happy eaters long term, because they are one day becoming adults. And so while some parents feel like that's not authoritarian enough, they want a little more control, that's okay. You can have a little more control. And some parents feel like, you know, I want to be a little more on the permissive side, and that's okay too. It's all a spectrum of how you show up and how you parent your child around the table. But it is important to remember that at the end of the day, the forcing nature of your children cannot be done with things like using the bathroom, falling asleep, like actually falling asleep, not just going to bed, falling asleep, and actually swallowing and eating food. These are bodily autonomy boundaries that they have in place because they are whole separate humans from us. And so they need the empowerment of having that bodily autonomy. And those are ways that we can set them up for success. And we can kind of, again, put that tee on the tee ball for them and set up the entire environment, be ready to cheer them on from the sidelines. But ultimately, they have to walk up and swing the bat and hit the ball over the field or over the fence, right? So that's what I talk about of these different kind of parenting styles and where you land in there. And of course, there's wiggle room and there's a spectrum of different parenting styles and different expectations and different boundaries. And if you have a problem, which is a picky eater, which is likely why you're listening to this right now, you have the problem of a picky eater. If you want the solution, That's ultimately why I'm here, to help tell you, hey, here's how to support your child best. And remember to zoom out, to focus on how we're supporting them in this journey of eating new foods, while also focusing on, hey, how are we going to get through tonight's dinner without it becoming a power struggle, without us getting exhausted, without us losing our minds, without us getting super angry or dysregulated or being a short order cook or letting our child get away with everything? And how do we set up boundaries that support them, but also support us and protect us from dysregulation, from not meeting our own needs, from not feeling, you know, the authority in our family as that strong leader? It's really important to recognize that this is a family approach, not a parent approach and not a kid approach. It really is a family approach. The next misconception that I want to talk about is actually kind of a deeper dive into essentially what you all know. I know is a misconception is that picky eating is the problem, when in fact picky eating is just the symptom of something deeper going on. There's actually a root cause to your child's picky eating. That is the entire belief that I hold here at Nutrition for Littles. It's been proven time and time again with over 10,000 families to reverse picky eating. We have to address that root cause. And what a lot of parents are told or believed or, you know, seem to recognize in their children is that my child is just stubborn. So while they kind of understand that picky eating maybe isn't the problem, but the problem ultimately is stubbornness, is their child's stubbornness, their unwillingness to change, they're strong-willed, they're very independent, hyper-autonomous, all those things. And while the misconception really lies in a place of, well, it's not picky eating, it's stubbornness, or my kid is just too difficult, too stubborn to XYZ in order to reverse picky eating. And the reason why this misconception is really does a disservice to parents is because, again, it's kind of this personality flaw that then parents just go, oh, this is just kind of who they are, and there's nothing I can do to support that. In fact, oftentimes with, and I have at least one very strong-willed children. The other two I feel like are, you know, TBD, but so far I wouldn't consider them strong-willed. I guess I would consider them strong-willed, but they are not to like the extreme, like one of my child is. And so I understand strong-willed children. I understand that hyper-independence. I understand that difficult mentality, the kind of, just obstinate sometimes where you truly cannot force them. And it's actually such a beautiful gift for me as a parent, because I've come to recognize there are things I can control and things I can't control. And so what I don't like about this idea of my kid is just too stubborn, too strong-willed, too difficult, whatever XYZ might be, that kind of puts the parent again in that victim mentality of there's nothing I can do. Why even try? There's nothing I can do. When in fact you can work, and trust me from experience that not only myself, but also in coaching thousands of families, is there is a way that you can get on their same team. Both of you need to move. Both of you need to get on the same team working together towards the problem of XYZ. And once you're on the same team tackling that, and I'm not even talking about verbally explaining that through your actions, being on the same team as your strong-willed, very stubborn child, there are ways that you can still set them up for success around picky eating. So it's really important for us to remember that it's a temperament issue, right? And while a lot of parents will say, well, it's not really picky eating, they're just really stubborn, I would argue at the end of the day, first of all, there's no real definition for picky eating, but the problem or the kind of observational things that you're able to look at the table and observe of them not eating, while it might be that their root cause is more of a temperament issue, the outcome is still the same. If your child is picky because they're stubborn and picky because they're putting their foot down, or they're not eating or picky because they have a sensory or texture issue, the outcome or the thing that is the symptom, the observable fact is that they're leaving food on their table. They're not eating their food. And so that is exactly what I mean by there's a root cause. And one of those root causes are temperament. They need more support because they are more strong-willed. So while a lot of kids have these temperament issues, some kids who parents are labeling stubborn, strong-willed, difficult, whatever it might be, there might actually be multiple root causes at play, and it's coming out, the behavior that's coming out is stubbornness. So it might actually be ARFID, where they're afraid of food. It might actually be a sensory issue that's causing them to quote unquote act stubborn, when in fact there's a sensory dysregulation. We have one of our children really likes to get things right, do things the right way, you know, not improvise, and wants to get things right. And so once you recognize what is it, and kind of get curious about what is it that he thinks is the right way to do it and set him up for success, he's off to the races. Like, he has no problem. It's just this barrier. I get to get curious about what's the barrier standing in his way from actually doing the thing. And it looks like stubbornness. It looks like obstinance. In reality, he's not being set up for success for him. So we both need to move. We both need to find a way to work together. And I think oftentimes as parents, we feel like we're the leaders. You need to come to me. It's my way or the highway. And in fact, that is going back to the type of parenting, the authoritarian type of parenting that in research does not serve our children long term. Now, again, that does not mean we need to jump all the way to permissive parenting or even neglectful parenting. This means there is a way to work together as a team, getting curious about their barriers, but also establishing and really being clear about your family values and your family culture and what your boundaries are, and then expecting that of them and teaching them how to reach those expectations is so, so important, because no one likes a secret boundary or a secret expectation that consistently is not getting met without any communication behind it or action behind it. That is really difficult for our kids to understand, especially in being so little and so young and their brains are still developing. And the last misconception that I want to cover on today's podcast is this idea of, if I just keep serving it, eventually they'll pick it up and eat it. And while this is a strategy, and it's certainly one that I teach and I encourage and I tell parents to do, oftentimes if your child is picky enough that you're coming to me, you're listening to this podcast, you're following me on Instagram, whatever it might be, that is not enough. So that is one piece of the formula, but it's kind of like if you're trying to bake a pie, it's like, sure, that's the filling, but you don't have the crust. You don't have the right, you know, tools, and you're not cooking it at the right temperature, whatever it might be. You need more things to create the entire pie. So that is one great piece of advice. Always keep offering. Yes, exposures are so important to our children, and there's a right way and a wrong way to do exposure. If you are trying to get your kids to reverse picky eating, overcome picky eating, and try new foods, there are ways that you can expose that, again, sets them up for success rather than just keep putting it on their plate, hoping and praying and throwing Hail Mary that like something else is going to change tonight. They oftentimes need multiple strategies at play in order to actually get them to pick up that food and eat them. So that is another piece of advice that, while I talk about it and it is important, it's just one piece of the puzzle, which gets very confusing for parents because they think that that is enough. And sometimes for some kids, that is enough. Even for some kids, that's enough for certain foods, but it's not enough for the new foods that they're really apprehensive about eating. They need a few more strategies, more support, more guidance in eating in order to eat these foods. And parents often are just saying, hey, just keep serving it, keep exposing them, play it cool. And at the end of the day, they go, hey, nothing's actually changing. They're not picking it up and eating it. What am I doing wrong? And or what could I be doing differently? And that's where there needs to be a multiple strategy approach. And so I think that is a misconception that, again, makes parents feel defeated, exhausted, tired, feeling like they keep trying things and nothing's working. There's no movement. There's no change, no hope. Nothing's changing. And why do I even do this? I just want to give up. Why would I even make the broccoli? They're never going to eat it. So I'm just going to stop serving the broccoli. I don't want to waste my time, money, or energy on those things, which is 100% understandable. And that simply is just not the case. Exposure is not the only strategy. Otherwise, I would not be helping tens of thousands of parents, because at the end of the day, they would just expose their kids and eventually they would eat. But oftentimes picky kids need more than just that strategy alone. It's a great baseline. It's a great foundation. It's not the only thing we can do. And so it's really important to understand that, yes, every picky kid, exposures are important, but there is more to it that then gets back to, we have to figure out why your kid is not picking it up and eating the food, no matter how many exposures you get. That is a root cause approach. They have to be able to figure out your kid's root cause or root causes. Some kids have more than one. So that strategy of exposure is one piece of the puzzle, but it's not the whole pie, if that makes sense. All right. I hope that was super helpful. It was so good to chat through some of these misconceptions today and really kind of work it out here on the podcast with you. I hope it was really helpful, and I hope to see you again next week. See you then. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.